This not to buy stuff.
Vibration or off? Chapter 10, text 17, which probably needs to be turned into this one. Good.
Katam.
How?
Vidyamaham.
Vidyamaham.
Shall I know?
Shall I know?
Yogin.
Yogin.
O Supreme Mystic.
O Supreme Mystic.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Sada.
Sada.
Always.
Always.
Parichintayam.
Parichintayam.
Thinking of.
Thinking of.
Keshu.
Keshu.
In which.
In which.
Keshu.
Keshu.
In which.
In which.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Paveshu.
Paveshu.
Natures.
Natures.
Chinchaha.
Chinchaha.
Asi.
Asi.
You are to be remembered.
You are to be remembered.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
O Supreme.
O Supreme.
Maya.
Maya.
By me.
By me.
O Krishna. O Supreme Mystic. How shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of God? Purport. As it is stated in the previous chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is covered by his yoga maya. Only surrendered souls and devotees can see him. Now, Arjuna is convinced that his friend, Krishna, is the Supreme Godhead. But he wants to know the general process by which the all-pervading Lord can be understood by the common man. Can you hear in the back? Can you hear in the back? Here he comes. Shall we just proceed or what? Looks like we're not getting anything, nothing from this now.
And the current is not flowing. I use a generator. The current is not flowing in there.
I see. That's okay. I think I do a bad electricity. Can you hear now? Now you can hear me, my friend. Hello?
As it is stated in the previous chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is covered by his yoga mind. Only surrendered souls and devotees can see him. Now, Arjuna is convinced that his friend, Krishna, is the Supreme Godhead. But he wants to know the general process by which the all-pervading Lord can be understood by the common man. Common men, including the demons and atheists, cannot know Krishna because he is guarded by his yoga maya energy. Again, these questions are asked by Arjuna for their benefit. The superior devotee is concerned not only for his own understanding, but for the understanding of all mankind. So Arjuna, out of his mercy, because he is a Vaishnava, a devotee, is opening for the common man the understanding of the all-pervasiveness of the Supreme Lord. He addresses Krishna specifically as yogi, because Sri Krishna is the master of the yoga maya energy, by which he is covered and uncovered to the common man. The common man who has no love for Krishna cannot always think of Krishna. Therefore, he has to think materially. Arjuna is considering the mode of thinking of the materialistic persons of this world. The words keshu keshu chapadeshu refer to material nature. The word pada means physical things. Because materialists cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they are advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Kutale Svayam Rupa Kada Maitam Pati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Kapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shadrashatam Shahagana Raganatam Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sintha Dhinam Tau Jagambate Lokesha Govinda Kanta Radha Kanta Namoshkute Taptatam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Prashadhanu Sute Devi Anumami Kashikriye Vancha Kavadru Vyascha Kripasanto Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vanchasevyo Namam Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Shri Vashari Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Katam vidyam aham yogins, tvam sada parichintayam, keshu keshu chapadeshu, chintyosi bhagavan. Arjuna, Krishna's friend, has understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of everything. He is the Supreme Controller. And he is the Supreme Person. But on talking here, he is within everything, and yet he is beyond everything. And to the common person, he's invisible. We don't see God everywhere. We see trees, we see the sky, we see buildings, we see animals, human beings. But we don't see God. Because Yoga Maya Samadhi, God covers himself from the ordinary vision. He said, I'm not available to anyone and everyone.
even if you want to see some big government officer or some big businessman,
it's not so easy. He has his secretaries, he has his security people. Why do you want to see him? Yes, what is your business?
Yes, no, I'm sorry. He's very busy. Even an ordinary big man in this material world is very difficult to see. And what to speak of God? He's not so easily available, especially to those who are materialists.
Those who only want to see matter, those who are not interested in God, how will they see him? How will they see him? They're already convinced that there's no God. So even if God were to appear before them, they still would see. They think, here's an ordinary human being. Other than not to be mindful of time, mindful of time. Therefore, Krishna, keeps himself available through ordinary vision. But he can be seen by pure devotees. Vegesha Guru Guru Vatavanta. Premantana Sri Kapakti Devotee. Sankat Sadaya Vegesha Devotee. Ram Chalam Sundar. Open the mind for those whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, Krishna can be seen.
Those who love Krishna can see Krishna. But then they can see him, Yam Shamasana, in his spiritual form. To our name, just as we're seeing one another face to face, the pure devotees of Krishna can see Krishna face to face. But those who are not devotees, how will they see? Now, Arjuna, because all we see is material things,
Krishna, Arjuna asks,
how can we know you, even in this material world? Because we're here in the material world, and we're only seeing material things. So how can there be a connection?
How can material things remind us of Krishna?
That's possible. Krishna has already been a hint earlier in Bhagavad Gita.
Rasoham Vapsakonti
Prabhasmi Shashi Sudhuriva. Rasoham, when we drink water, we appreciate the pure taste of the water. When you're very thirsty and there's clear, refreshing water, then we all appreciate the nice taste of the water. So Krishna says, that taste is me. I am that taste. So then we have to meditate on that. And Krishna says, I am the taste of the water. Well, how is that? So the devotee will start to think that the water is tasty because of God's presence, Krishna's presence. Krishna has kindly provided water just to satisfy our thirst. So then he starts to think, yes, this water taste of the water is Krishna. So while drinking water, he can remember Krishna.
He can think of Krishna. And Prapasmi,
Shashi Surya, Krishna says, I am the body of the moon. In the evening, we see beautiful, cooling days of the moon, and we appreciate people who write poetry about it. Everyone likes to see the beautiful moonlight. But Krishna says that moonlight is also me. And Surya, during the day there's sunlight. When there's no sunlight, we can't see anything. Of course, whatever we see, it's either sunlight, moonlight, or the sun illuminates everything so that we can see. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. So we can start to think, how is Krishna the light of the sun? Krishna is very brilliant, and it's Krishna's helping us see. It's Krishna's energy that's present in the form of the sun. Therefore, while seeing the sun and while seeing the moon, one can think of Krishna. While drinking water, one can think of Krishna. And when are we not drinking water or seeing the light of the sun or seeing the light of the moon? Practically all the time, we're doing these things. So Krishna is giving an opportunity that you can see me in these material things. Just like suppose someone has made a cabinet. Or he's made, let's say someone has made a song. No, we'll say a cabinet. Someone has made a wooden cabinet. So if you know this cabinet is made by such and such carpenter, while seeing that cabinet, you'll think of the carpenter. Because the carpenter is present in the cabinet. Or, if something is connected, just like the mother sees the shoes of the child. So the shoes are just a pair of shoes. You can go to the shoe store, and there are hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes. But because these shoes are the child's shoes, the mother immediately thinks of the child. Because these shoes are connected to the child.
So everything is connected with Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the in the background of everything. Everything is Krishna's energy. So everything has a connection with Krishna. We just have to see that connection. So in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will teach us how to see him even while seeing material things. He'll give a big list of some of his manifestations. Just like among the fish, Krishna says, I'm the shark, because it's a very big, powerful fish. Among the mountains, I'm the Himalayas, tallest mountains in the world. Among bodies of water, I'm the ocean. Among men, I'm the king. In this way, he'll give many, many examples of the most prominent things. Among human beings, the king is the most prominent. Among bodies of water, the ocean is the biggest. Among fish, the shark is the most powerful. Among mountains, the Himalayas are the greatest. So he'll mention some of these things, but he'll say this is only a partial list. I'm only giving you a sample. Atabhava naitena kim gyatena tabharja. Vishtavyaham ikam krishna ikam shenisvatavikam. Finally, his whole cosmic manifestation is maintained by just a spark of Krishna's energy. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitam eva va tattareva vidashta tvam mamate jonsan sambhita. Krishna says, after giving this long list, he says, all right, I'm giving you a sample. But whenever you see anything that's very special, that's beautiful, that's powerful, you can know this is coming from me. There are so many, we couldn't make up the whole list, but there are so many wonderful things in this world. Big mountains, big trees, big forests, big waterfalls. And Krishna says, they're all representations of me. So we're always seeing something. We're seeing the moon, we're seeing the sky, we're seeing the sun, we're hearing. Krishna says, I'm the sound in the sky, the sound that you hear. We're always hearing sound. I'm the taste of water. So we have different senses. We see, we hear, we taste. So with your senses, your sense of sight, of hearing, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your nose, you can perceive the presence of Krishna. Krishna's right next to you, right here in this material world. And in this chapter, Krishna is giving a little hint of how to think of him. Apart from these material manifestations, or these manifestations of Krishna in material things, Krishna is also present spiritually in the sound of his holy name. Abhinnata nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna, the person, and Krishna, the name Krishna. Therefore, whatever blessings, whatever benefits we could get from the personal presence of God or Krishna, we can get from the transcendental sound of his holy name, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Krishna
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama
Rama, Hare Hare.
Therefore, Lord Chaitanya recommended that we always chant Hare Krishna, Kirtaniya Sada. Chant Hare Krishna, and chant Hare Krishna more, and then continue chanting Hare Krishna, and keep on chanting Hare Krishna. Go on chanting Hare Krishna, and be happy. By this chanting, every one of us can associate with Krishna, and that will make our life successful. We have books also, so many, like Bhagavad Gita as it is, and many other books, that you can take advantage of these books. You can come here to this center and hear about Krishna and the association of devotees. That way you'll be able to make a lot of spiritual advancement very quickly. And wherever you go, you can chant this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Swami. I want to ask this question in relation to what you said that Arjuna inquired from Krishna how you should see him. How are we going to?
Arjuna inquired from Krishna how we can see him. Yes.
So, and you intimated that Krishna said that if he is the taste of the water.
Krishna says he's the taste of the water. Yes.
Yes, he is the light of the sun.
He's the light of the sun and the moon.
And among the fishes, he's the shark.
Among the fish, he's the shark.
Among the humans, he's the king.
Among the human beings, the king.
So would this justify anybody or those who see God, Krishna, in any other form? And they say somebody sees a waterfall. And
yes. When you see the waterfall, you can think, this waterfall is very beautiful. And Krishna says, whatever, it's also very powerful. Sometimes they use waterfalls for generating electrical energy. Very powerful waterfalls sometimes. So you can remember that Krishna says, whatever is beautiful, whatever is powerful, represents me.
So, would this person who has seen waterfall and is so fascinated by it, that he has seen God or Krishna in it, so he worships it, is it justified?
So someone sees the waterfall and he sees God there, so he worships the waterfall. Yes, that's the beginning of God consciousness. We see sometimes that people who are simple in their religion may worship some material thing. They worship a waterfall. They worship a big tree, they worship a big mountain, or something like that. So in one sense, they're worshiping God. They recognize this is something great. This tree has been here for thousands of years. It's a very old tree. This waterfall is very beautiful and very powerful. This mountain is very big. And it gives us so many things. So they bow down to that, whatever it may be, and they worship that. That's the beginning of God consciousness. They're recognizing something greater than themselves. They're recognizing there's something greater than themselves. So that's correct. God is there. Someone would like to close the windows. That's the beginning. God is also present in the tree. God is also present in the waterfall. God is also present in the mountain. Because these are God's energy. So wherever the energy is present, God is also present. Just like the sun, wherever the sunshine is present, the sun is also present. Even though the sun is 93 million miles away, when the sunlight is on our head, then the sun is present. So these people see something great, something powerful, something beautiful, and they worship that. So they're beginning to worship God. They haven't yet understood that God is the Supreme Person, that God is beyond all material things. But they've begun to recognize that God is present. So that's the beginning of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. It's not the end. After all, how is the mountain God? The mountain will only last for some few thousand years. How is the tree or the waterfall God? God is eternal. The waterfall is not eternal. God is everywhere. The waterfall is not everywhere. God is all powerful. The waterfall is not all powerful. But they've begun to recognize the presence of God. This is better than the materialist. The gross materialist sees a waterfall and he thinks, well, I could bottle the water and make some money. I could build an electrical plant and generate electricity and again make some money. Or I could take my girlfriend here to this beautiful waterfall and speak loving words to her. So he sees the thing separate from Krishna, or without any relationship to Krishna, without any relationship to him. He just sees it in relationship to his own sense gratification. So he thinks, how can I exploit this thing? That's material consciousness. But when one starts to see that God is present here, that's the beginning of spiritual consciousness.
Would he say it's the same as the same person when he's being approached by somebody who has recognized the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and presenting to him that even though this waterfall you have seen is a representative or is Krishna in his form as this, then this person will sometimes refuse and say, no. Are they the same as somebody who have conceived the Krishna consciousness?
Someone who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness, who's understood Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, goes to that man and says, it's nice that you're worshipping the waterfall, but did you know that this waterfall is just a manifestation of the Supreme Person? And then that waterfall worshipper says, no, this is just, I'm worshipping the waterfall. Right? So yes, that may be there. He's on a certain level, and he hasn't made further progress. He only sees God in his waterfall, but not beyond the waterfall. That's called, therefore he's a neophyte, just a beginner. Even sometimes we see that people who take into different religions, God is present in my temple, but not outside the temple. God is in my church, but he's not in the church across the street. Or he's in the church, but he's not in the mosque. Or he's in the mosque, but he's not in the temple of the church. In this way, they have a limited conception that God is only within a certain jurisdiction. They don't have a universal vision of God. So, therefore, this is only the beginning. And the program is to bring one from the very beginning stages gradually to the highest stage of understanding Krishna as the personality. So for that reason we have so many books and we have this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
stupid fool and worshiping this material thing, as if it were God. So that's one way to just say, no, you have it all wrong. But here's another approach, and we say, all right, worship your waterfall, but see it in connection to a higher thing. See it gradually, that this is the representation of God. That's called starting where you are. Just like what's a good example? People salute the flag of their country. They offer their respect to the flag. So the flag is not the country. The country that made is a very big thing. To understand the country all at once may not be so easy. So we encourage someone that you just respect the flag. And gradually by respecting the flag, we come to understand that behind the flag, there's government, there's president, there's the public works department, there's police, there's so many things. But in the beginning, he was told, you salute the flag. You respect the flag. But gradually, how do we bring him to the higher understanding? Is that okay? Yes. Can't hear you wrong. Is it, did you click the button? The button? The microphone?
It's quite, I'm saying that it's quite interesting. At this point in the United Kingdom, the Greeks, the religion before Christianity in England, Greeks, they are given official recognition. And there is a controversy as to that, and it was happening on the BBC. The mainstream religion, the Church of England, was saying that they are worshippers of thunder, rivers and so on, and that they shouldn't be given that recognition. And this has created a lot of controversy over the Greeks, those who did the Stonehenge, this is the kingdom. And then still in connection with this, in this terrain, in this environment, we have Putu, Juju, people worship Tanga and so on and so forth, Haridon. And they use this to perpetuate wickedness, you know. So it's a bit, creepy. Talk about these things, worship them. So I thank you to bring this to this point.
I'm not sure I've heard of it. There are priests in the United Kingdom who are going to Stonehenge. And they're doing some sort of worship there, and it's controversial. And then, did you get the next one?
I'd say, talking about worship of Tantasha, rivers, and this terrain, African terrain, you know, that is what the voodoo worshippers do.
Okay.
And voodoo is synonymous with wickedness.
Okay. So there are people in Africa who are worshipping various gods, various deities. And so how does that fit in the picture? Yes. These various deities partially represent Krishna. They represent the power of Krishna to a small extent. And Krishna says those who are worshipping these deities are actually worshipping me. But they're doing it the wrong way. Just like if you're getting food, you could put it in your mouth. You could also put it in your ear. Because that's also part of your body. But that's going the wrong way. You could put it in your nose, but that's going the wrong way. You have to put the food in your mouth. So, those who are worshipping these different deities are worshipping me. But they're doing it indirectly. They're doing it the wrong way. Just like if you're giving a bribe to a government officer, you're also paying your taxes. But you're doing it the wrong way. You're supposed to pay your taxes into the government treasury, not into someone's hand. So the right way is to worship the personality of God. This is the right way to water a tree, is to put the water on the root of the tree, not on the leaves and branches. So, therefore, in one sense it's good. At least they're worshiping someone. They recognize that there's a higher power. But they haven't recognized the supreme power. And usually they're worshiping with some motivation. They want to get some power themselves. They want to get something themselves. But pure emotional service means to worship the supreme person, and not for some motive, but just because that's our natural position. Some other question? Yes.
Microphone's coming to you.
Hare Krishna. Consider the nine offenses against the Godhead, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The ninth one.
Say it again.
Offenses against the Godhead of Hare Krishna. The ninth one is the destructive fitness person.
A little closer. Very sensitive microphone.
The destructive fitness person. Other ways of going from the world. Please, I want to know, when do we see the instructing hypnotist? When do we see the instructing hypnotist? Because you are pushing on him to preach.
Yeah.
Okay, you're asking about the among the offenses that we try to avoid in chanting the holy name. One is to teach the glories of the Lord's name to the faithless person. So when are we crossing the line? When are we going too far in doing that? Right? Yeah. On this, we take some risk. We don't, when someone is, does not yet have faith in the Holy Name, we don't tell everything about the Holy Name that could possibly be told, because some things are confidential. But we give it a chance. To chant this Hare Krishna mantra, we tell them this is God's name, that this is a transcendental vibration. We try to give him the opportunity. And alright, we may not have faith, but we take a little risk for his benefit.
Something else?
Okay.
I also want to know why, in fact, almost all the churches, all the other churches, actually so much about the material and advising us to refrain from enjoying the material life.
Different forms of the gathering.
We want to know
the activities that can be seen as a gambit, which is one of the principles of the four principles.
Things that can be seen as gambling?
Yeah, activities that are grouped under gambling. Activities grouped under gambling.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Activities grouped under gambling. Gambling means wasting our time. So of course, the lottery, poker games, betting on horses, betting on anything good. This is all gambling. Then wasting our time in frivolous sports, this is no purpose. That also characterizes useless activity or gambling. Or high risk. Anything high risk, where you win everything, you lose everything. That's another kind of thing. And you're, because the mind is going kind of crazy, I can win. And you're forgetting about whether you have a steady mind, steady business. Not big peaks and crashing, but more will say consciousness that was in the question by the person. You have bad karma with that microphone. It doesn't work for you for some reason. I think it's the switch. Alright.
Yes, in the text, it was stated that Krishna would like us to think constantly about it. And in fact, this is the abiding thing in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, the text preceding this text says that it's the secret of all secrets. And what Krishna shows after thinking about him constantly is that we will come to him. And Srila Prabhupada took up this, and in almost all his books and chapters, he would end by stating that, you know, then you will go back home, back to Krishna. You know, this is liberation. To the extent that we didn't say Krishna is a name of, that means he is the giver of liberation. But it seems somehow we frown upon the liberation. Frown upon the liberation. We don't so much encourage
the liberation that we found upon is impersonal. The liberation, so-called liberation, where you lose your individuality and therefore you lose the opportunity. Lose the opportunity to serve Krishna. That liberation we have on. But the liberation in which you always remember Krishna and serve Krishna, that's your liberation. So we're happy with it. Go ahead. We're going to come.
We have one book. The Nectar of the Holy Name. When I first read it in 1983, I really found that it was nectar, you know, nothing less. My sins is out of print, and the foundation of our movement is the Holy Name, you know, and in our African context, where we don't read very much, may I propose that this Nectar of the Holy Name, you know, we separate them into small, small groups. You know, give them out. Give out the Holy Name.
To please you, the eternal man of the Holy Spirit. And can you propose to the Lord? Thank you. Anything else? There's a question we have.
Feminine qualities mentioned in Bhagavad Gita are not necessarily those of women. They may be found in women, or they may be found in men also. Good speech is found in women sometimes. It's found in men sometimes.
Memory.
Smriti. Sometimes good memory is found in women.
Sometimes good
is found in men. These qualities are grammatically feminine. They're all grammatically feminine. And sometimes it's said that there are various deities in charge of them. Those deities are feminine. But these qualities may be found in anyone, man or woman. Is that okay? Shall we stop here? Okay, there's another question.
How does one know that the
How do you know that you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness? The more you're making advancement, how do you know that you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness? You'll know because you'll become more and more addicted to Krishna and less interested in material enjoyment. That's the sign. Should we stop here? Is that okay? Okay, be loud. If you're loud. How to explain who Radharani is. How to explain who Radharani is? She's Krishna's spiritual energy, that's all. She's the energy of devotional service, of pure devotional service. She's the best devotee of Krishna. Yes, in the back. Very loud.
I'd like to know, how do you use this product?
I couldn't hear. Because the chanting beads lose their potency. The potency is not in the beads, the potency is in the chanting. It's your chanting, it's not the beads. In the Soviet Union, during the communist days, some devotees were in prison. They had no beads, so they took some bread and they made the bread crumbs into beads. And they were chanting Hare Krishna. So that was as good as any other beads, as good as Tulsi beads. Yes.
Please, Krishna created all languages, and presented his name in any language. So everybody is calling Krishna in their own language. And the impersonalists, some of them are calling Krishna, and the personalists are calling Krishna. So all of these names, which is the highest to be called? And how can we know the difference?
Among all the names, there's so many names, so many languages. Which is best? This name, Krishna, is the original name. Even Christ comes from Krishna. Krishna means all eternity. And said that Krishna, because Krishna is the original form of God, so this name, Krishna, is first place.
Please, Narayan, some of the impersonalists in India and other countries are calling Krishna too. And the personalists are.
Yeah, the impersonalists may call God or Krishna or whatever, but their idea is something impersonal. They will call your name, but ultimately we don't accept it as a person. That means we're going to go past you. So that's not very much appreciated. Or we're going to become, we'll call you so that we can become you. That is the impersonalist philosophy. We'll call your name and eventually we'll become as good as we were. So why should God have his own competition? They're competing with God. I will be as good as you are. Why should God help them? Otherwise, we can't say any of God's names with the mood of humble service coming from us.
Thank you very much for the class. books are very important for devotees as well as for the non-devotees. And so, how do we get an inspiration to distribute these books? All of us, everyone, every member of this camp, everybody who comes here as a devotee, what should be our attitude, what should be our mood towards sharing this knowledge with other people?
First of all, read them. If you read them, you'll feel like sharing. When something's good, you want to give it to the next person. You have some good food, you give it to your sister, you say, this is really good. But if you haven't tasted it yourself, then you have no reason to share it. So read the books. That's the first thing. When you read them, you'll get inspired. There's so much knowledge here. There's so much information. I get so much benefit by reading these books. So read them, and then share them. And then by sharing them also, you'll get more inspiration. Somebody will come back to you and say, yeah, I read the book, and I found this and this and this and this. So you'll see how it's nice. Just like you give your sister some nice food. She says, wow, that was really good. So then you feel happy. Yes, I gave her something. She appreciated it. Then you turn to your brother and say, here, your job. Right? So the more you distribute the books, the more you get enthusiasm to distribute the books. And the more you associate with devotees who are distributing the books and enthusiastic about distributing them, then again, the more the enthusiasm draws off on you. It works that way. They tell you their experiences. Oh, this person got a book, and this, and this, and this. How the person benefited, and how the person appreciated. So then you feel yes.
That's glad that BT Africa has some program for this book distribution throughout Africa.
Well, we started a DBT division, DBT Africa, specifically for publishing books on the African continent. Of course, we're publishing in English, in French, and we want to distribute those books. That means we want to make sure there's a good supply of books everywhere so the books can be distributed at an affordable cost, affordable price. We also want to translate literature into local languages like Xhosa in South Africa, Zulu, Swahili, Hausa, Yoruba, here, we want to add many languages to distribute literature, translate and distribute in all those languages. If anyone here is good at translation, we're interested, please come speak to me. We want to publish literature in all of these languages, and distribute profusely. That's another of our programs. So, in summary, it can be said that we want to push out books more and more in every language and to as many people as we can find. Anyone who can read, even if they can't read, if they just touch it, they'll benefit. And especially those who can read and teach it. Prabhupada built this whole society on the distribution of books. Whatever we know, people say, oh, you have such a philosophy, never met someone, never heard anything like this. It's all part of those books. We don't invent anything. This is not a movement where we just have some sentiments or we invent some, concoct some idea. Or just jump up and down and overshoot false miracles. It's based on solid science, solid philosophy. So we have so many books of Bhagavad-gita. In these Bhagavad-gitas, it is. The books are translated so far in about 91 languages. So now we have more languages, there's about 3,000 languages left. Maybe about 300 principal languages. So we want to create a distribution. very important program. We have, it's so easy, Krishna consciousness. Just sing and dance and take nice prasadam, and you can become Krishna conscious. Very easy. Doesn't cost anything. No hard test rules, no restriction. And it's joyful, it's blissful. But then someone wants to know more. What's the philosophy? What's the idea? And we're not unprepared. We have so many needs.
And
by reading these books, people will understand.
Please, what is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita?
What is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone of us is a servant of Krishna, and so we should engage in this devotional service.
We have experience, by the way, in different countries. I think probably there's been experience here, too, that when we really start distributing books like anything, everyone becomes more powerful. The devotees become very joyful, Prabhupada becomes pleased, people become pleased to get such nice books, and things really start changing. When we distribute that nice books. Yes?
Between Bhagavad Gita and other religious literature, like the Bible. Read Bhagavad Gita and see. He's Christian, he wants to be convinced that our scripture is good, but he doesn't want to read it. That puts him at a disadvantage. If you want to know if it's good, read it. But we can
tell him that this is a scripture, it's teaching love of God. Christ tells, says, love God. Krishna is God, he says, love me. So the goal is the same. This is not a scripture only for people of a particular religion. This is for everyone. It's not sectarian.
The microphone next to us. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Mine is a contribution of a suggestion to my brother.
Okay.
Most Christians do think the Bible is ultimate. What I advise him to do or to tell the person is to rather use the Bible to let the person know that the Bible does not contain everything. For instance, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus went to study. And according to the Bible, he grew in stature and wisdom. And then he found favor with man and God. It tells us simply that reading the apparent gospel of Jesus, where we are told that Jesus went to India, Egypt, and Tibet to study. It has to do with studying. So, like Maharaj, you said, we will always have to encourage our Christian brothers and sisters to read the Bible very well, because Jesus himself studied. So if one wants to know the similarity between the Gita and the Bible, one will have to think upon him or herself to read both books and know the truth. The second thing I want to buttress with this very point has to do with somebody asked a question about that.
Just while I'm thinking of it, just say, no, I only read this one book. But I don't know the books for I'll read a book about self-help, about motivation, about business, about so many things. So there's so many books. It's not that they only read one book. Read this book.
I agree with you. But sometimes, in getting them to read the Gita, because some are brought up such that that's what our parents taught us, and that's what we are supposed to do. Forgetting that the Bible itself actually leads them or makes them to read other books for them to know. Fine, I do understand with you that Gita, for me, is the ultimate. But sometimes, trying to get them to read the Gita, you must always use the Bible to prove a point for them to have that flair or taste to read it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
I think we can't end the discussion without mentioning Srila Prabhupada.
You don't think we can end without mentioning Srila Prabhupada?
Hare Krishna. I think I recall that years ago, Ramananda Prabhu told us that the Krishna consciousness that we are aspiring to was epitomized by Srila Prabhupada, to the extent that when Srila Prabhupada was talking about Krishna, you think that Krishna is resting like in the next room. Alright, you were very close to Srila Prabhupada. Could you, you know, give us the benefit of the nectar that he exhibited in some of his activities?
Nectar. One time Prabhupada was asked that question about his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada said he was a very good man. I was there to say. About his Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada said he was a very good man. What is there to say? But anyway, Prabhupada came here. Prabhupada came to Africa. He was interested not only in India, not only in America, Europe, but he came here to Africa. And in Africa also, he was focusing. The Krishna consciousness should be spread widely among all the African people. That was his interest. That was his aspiration. That in all the countries of Africa, all the people should have the advantage of Krishna consciousness.
So you can all take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's generosity. He's distributing very generously Krishna consciousness, and we can all take advantage of his generosity. Okay? Yes?
I
don't
know that. Somebody asked a question on whether the chant is whatever is important.
Yeah.
If it does, how can it be identified or made? And then you reacted to that question by saying that the power is in the Mahamantra. That is quite excellent. However, we also have information where the, like, we are bees made of tulsi, bees made of neem tree, banyan tree. Sometimes they say bees made of tulsi the best.
Yeah, probably some devotees had bees made of ordinary wood, and they wanted probably, but then they had tulsi bees, and asked probably to chant on the tulsi bees. Probably said, no, these original bees were drawn on the original bees. The bees become sanctified by the spiritual master chanting to give you the holy name. It's not mere wood. It's not whether they're big bees or small bees. It's not whether they're tulsi bees or some other bees. The tradition is to use tulsi bees because the tulsi bees is very dear to Krishna. But in the beginning, there was no tulsi. The devotees were initiated on ordinary wooden bees from a store. But they made spiritual advancement by chanting on those bees. And those bees, they keep those great treasures. So it's not, therefore the power is in the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Stop there.
Offering the boga.
Oh.
Yeah, so when they finish the altar, so we have to give way until the altar, and the boga is finished.
The boga is finished?
Yeah, still offering the boga.
Okay, so how much time left?
The boga, then altar.
So how much time is that?
That means 10 minutes left.
Okay, we have more time. One question is more. Yes?
Maharaj, the idea that the guru chants on the bead is not that the bead has become more potent than ordinary bead which the guru has not chanted on. So, based on that, I would not say that there is potency in the chanting bead.
Yes. By chanting on the bead, chanted on by the spiritual master, we remember the spiritual master in Krishna. But still, the potency is in the holy name. Otherwise, some devotee lost the bees given by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, anyway, your bees are chanted on the wrong chanting. It's not that now everything is finished. So of course we treasure anything connected with the spiritual master. We treasure deeds given to us by the spiritual master. But the potency is especially in the holy name. Otherwise you could just sleep on the deeds and go back to Godhead. The deeds have our appreciated in relation to the process. Process of changing the whole year. Yes?
So doesn't mean the beads and chanting is only a guide to how we can chant.
Hold on, let's break the microphone. Are meant to help us chant the holy name of Krishna. And they're given to us by the spiritual master, so they're called sanctified. They're especially blessed by the spiritual master. But the spiritual master gives them to you to chant the holy name. spoon, you wouldn't just put it up on the wall. The spoon is to eat with. Or some friend, or your father gives you a spoon. So you don't just put the spoon in a frame and say, the spoon was given to me by my father. You eat. That's why he gave it to you. So the beads are not just for looking at, they're putting in a case on display. They're meant for chanting. So we honor a gift given to us by the spiritual master when we chant the holy name of Krishna. Avoiding temptations. That's the most important. Yes?
I think, Maharaj, I'm getting some different idea as to this potency.
Turn around this one.
What I'm getting from it is that it looks like the potency is in the holy name, but upon chanting on the beach for quite some time, what I'm deducing from what you're saying that it could be that it could surcharge with the potency itself.
Yeah, the beads become sanctified by the touch of the spiritual master. Because they're connected with the spiritual master. When you chant on them, you'll think of the spiritual master, you'll feel blessings from the spiritual master. So I'm not, you know, just dismissing that. That's also there. But the main thing is your sincere chanting. And chanting on the beads, giving up the spiritual master, remembering the spiritual master, that will help you. One time Prabhupada said, if you think of me, then I'm there. Someone asked, are you personally in the picture? Prabhupada said, if I see in the picture, you think of me, then I'm there. Something else? Yes.
I want to swear from somewhere.
I think if you swear to switch. First of all, yes.
I want to swear that the holy names of the Lord should be chanted in respect of the spiritual master.
Should be chanted
in respect of the spiritual master.
With respect for the spiritual master. Yeah.
Not yes. That we chant it independent of the thinking that we are going to get love of God by that. But we should chant in respect of Him. How do we do that?
How do we respect this? By following His instructions? And considering yourself as a servant and following His instructions. That's the best way to respect the spiritual master. As I promised, I distribute books. So by distributing books, you respect the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna for the initiated devotees, 16 minutes. So you do that, at least by the spiritual master. Like Hare and Kulas, following four regular principles, just respecting the spiritual master. It's not just an actual show, we bow down, that's also our way. But the little things, following these principles, taking them to all. Something else? Yes, with that.
Is the Bible New Testament specific?
Right in the New Testament, mentioned is made of blue disciples of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the others. There's Srila Prabhupada in Labrinta. Is equally scripture in which your name appears in so many places. So how does it feel to be inside scripture?
How do you feel what?
How does it feel personal, your holiness, to be part of scripture? When Prasila Prabhupada in America.
Yeah.
to the Prabhupada, one way or another. But Prabhupada Dharma is not over yet. It doesn't stop with one generation. But those who follow, what is that? Acts of the Apostles. Those who follow the lives of the saints, those who follow the followers, and those who follow the followers of the followers, they get added to Prabhupada Dharma. Prabhupada Dharma doesn't stop at a certain point in history. You can also have your own world. Everyone. How does that feel? You're all invited to give your name in the book. Remember your service. Get my name. Something else? We don't have all the web rules. Chant, dance. if there's some role and some senior devotee will advise you. But in general, we just advise everyone to chant Hare Krishna with enthusiasm, and that's the main thing. Chant on the five mantras, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Don't add anything, don't subtract anything, don't change anything. Mantra is perfect because of this. And chant. Okay. Hare Krishna.
This is my life. I want to know more about the rules of our parents.
Rules
of our female devotees, our parents. The highest rule of devotees. Compared to other religions.
Well, hold on. The microphone is first of all. Let me get that from you. Rules of?
The rules of the female devotees, ladies.
You want to know the rules about female devotees?
If I compare to the outside religious rules, how they are treated, how they act.
The rules for the female devotees.
So that I can
chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the main rule for all the female devotees. These are the rules. Chant Hare Krishna, follow four regular principles. Always be engaged in the service of Krishna.
Same as the rule.
Distribute lots of books. Read.
Same rules.
Some specific guidelines for ladies are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the rules for brahmacharis, rules for sannyasis, rules for ladies. You can find that. But the basic rule is smartab yam saktam vishnu, be smartab yam najata chit, sarva vipinishayi asyu, etayori pingara. There is one positive rule and one negative rule. The positive rule is always remember Krishna. And the negative rule is never forget Krishna. All the other rules and regulations are just service of these two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget. Elaborate on four regular principles. Yeah, we're probably going to run out of time, but that could be a big lecture. Intoxicants, we're already intoxicated just by being in this material world. I think so many things, my mind is spinning. So don't spin it more. Or don't put it to sleep. So don't end it. Don't mess it up. Don't contaminate. No intoxicants. Beer, liquor, drugs, coffee, tea, cigarettes, all these things stimulate the mind and the nerves. We want to make the mind like water when it's still. When the water is still, then you can see everything. When the water is all like that, you can't see anything, it just gets muddy and choppy. So, to make the mind still and quiet, peaceful, no intoxication. No gambling, we talked about that before. No horse racing, no lotteries, no high risk activities. Again, keep the mind peaceful. Don't imagine that you're going to win the world. Okay.
Nauni, Krishna lives. Krishna doesn't need these things, so we don't offer him Krishna. And we want to be only the food that's sanctified, but we don't offer him Krishna. There is a Shastana Santo, which can take some of the food. What if you take Krishna and Papa, maybe the Shastana Santo? If we food for sense verification, it would become contaminated. If we food first offer Krishna, it would become free from the contamination. So, and immediately it's so violent and nasty. So no meeting, no meeting, no fish, no eggs. No illicit sex. That's another kind of intoxication.
Those who,
if you get away sex altogether, save yourself a lot of trouble. Otherwise, get married. And live like a gentleman. Don't change from person to person. This is good advice. I hear from the point of health. There's a huge epidemic all over Africa and all over the world, which could have been prevented if people would simply follow our advice.
None
of this sense. So,
from the health point of view, from every point of view, perfectly sensible advice.
So the devotee was very happy. He went to Sanatana Goswami and said, "Sir, Lord Shiva has informed me that you have this stone that can turn anything into gold, and I could ask you for it." So Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, I have that stone. It's totally in the garbage. You can take it." So the devotee was very happy. He picked up the stone and he started on his way, and he tried it out, and he was touching things, and it was turning to gold. He was very happy. But then he thought, wait a second, this Sanatana Goswami has cheated me. He's kept that stone in the garbage. So he must have something more valuable. He's giving me this thing, he has something better. So he's cheated. So he went back. But sir, you were keeping this stone in the garbage. That means you have something better. It's not in the garbage. It did. Yes, I have something better. I want that thing. All right, then throw that stone in the
and the water. Throw the stone in the water. That means get rid of it. Okay, you threw the stone. And this is not a time to go you even know the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You won't find anything more valuable anywhere. Yes.
Yes. As far as the equipment consciousness movement is concerned, practically, every devotee is expected to chant Hare Krishna.
Every devotee is expected to chant Hare Krishna, yes.
It's a matter of rule. It's a matter of rule of regulation, because at the time of taking initiation, the problem is the spiritual master to stay away from the four regulated principles of certain men. He also promised to be chanting the Hare Krishna. So then it becomes a rule, like kind of contractual.
Yeah, those rules.
Besides the chanting of the Hare Krishna, there are so many other rules we follow as far as Vaidhi Bhakti is concerned. Now, does it mean, however, that when we have attained pure love of Godhead and we are gone to the spiritual world, we'll still be rigidly following all these rules and regulations?
If you become pure devotee, you don't need to follow any rules or regulations. You become perfect in Krishna consciousness, you don't need to follow any rules or regulations at all. But still, the devotee follows them. If only for the benefit of others. Sanatana Goswami is the most advanced, but it's said that his sadhana, his following the rules and regulations was so strict that it was like a line engraved in stone. All the six Goswamis, they were the most advanced, but they were all very strictly followed the rules and regulations. They never said, well, now we're attaining perfection, and so they all the rules and regulations. An advanced devotee doesn't think, I'm an advanced devotee. He thinks, and I think, what kind of advanced people am I? He's humble, he doesn't think I'm advanced. He hopes one day maybe I'll become advanced.
Right. Therefore, based on what you have said, how then do we compare these two classes of devotees and devotees to, you know, suppose. You said that if one attains Krishna prayer, he doesn't need to follow any rules and regulations. He does it only for the sake of leading the others on the right path.
Or for enjoyment. It's like it's a rule. You have to chant 16 rounds a day. That's a rule for the initiated devotees. So the devotee says, okay, spiritual master ordered me, I have to chant these 16 rounds. But if he becomes advanced, he takes pleasure in chanting these 16 rounds. And he remembers that the spiritual master said, chant at least 16 rounds. So he may chant more rounds. It's not now I'm advanced, I don't need those rounds, I don't need that chanting anymore. The chanting is not just an exercise, it's not just a ritual, it's not just a ritual. But it's chanting needs associated with Krishna. In the beginning, he does it because he agreed to do it. In the advanced stage, he does it because it's the highest relish.
So I still want to begin my question so that you can answer the question. So we all have devotees who are attaining levels of continuous love of Godhead, but do not necessarily follow rules and regulations. For instance, we talk about, let's say, Abhadutas, those who are taking. I mean, practically, we ordinary people see them as mad, and therefore their line of activities will not enthuse us. In other words, as much as they are prior to us, we have the other devotees who are also attaining that level, but for our sake, they are following rules and regulations. In this way, they are helping us. Can we therefore say that such devotees are more merciful than the Abhadutas? And if we do that, are we right?
or wrong. The devotees who follow the rules and regulations are more merciful than the other two tests. What can we know from our position?
They're all merciful. Vaishnavas,
all
the Vaishnavas are merciful. But we can't follow the example of these
spontaneous. We can't pretend to be spontaneous devotees. We can't imitate. Imitating the spontaneous devotees, the most advanced devotees who are acting just purely from the spiritual platform, beyond rules and regulations, we can't imitate. There's a story. Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was such a devotee. He was chanting by the latrine. He would chant just to stay away from it, so nobody would come bother him. Or wherever he was chanting, very, very seriously, so many rounds.
So then there was some other guy. He also found a place not so far away. He started chanting so many rounds, imitating Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But his real motive was, that people would see Gaura chanting so many rounds, get some recognition. So Babaji Maharaj made a comment that you can't give birth to a child just by going into the maternity room. The maternity room is reserved for the women who are going to give birth, but it's not that just by going into the maternity room, you'll give birth to a child. So simply imitating the way of life of the spontaneous devotees who are beyond rules and regulations won't help anyone. We can cheat, maybe, the public. Oh, he's so advanced. Or we can cheat ourselves. But if we're serious about making genuine spiritual advancement, we'll follow the rules and regulations.
In a very striking way, which touched me. In the Lilamrita, it was stated that when he got to, by the time he went to America, he had translated only three cantos or so of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But over there, when he continued, he didn't go in that sequence or chronological order, but he jumped to the 10th canto. Because he knew he was very advanced, he was very old, and he could pretty soon leave the planet. So the 10th canto, of course, is the embodiment of Krishna. He wanted to give Krishna in case he soon left the planet. And by that, it really touched me, because he wasn't doing things mechanically. I'm translating 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He wanted to give Krishna consciousness. So that should tell us that Krishna consciousness is preeminent. We should embrace it and show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who believed in it, who practiced it, who propagated it, and who lived it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anything else? I think you have to switch the search.
If an initiated devotee is so busy in trying to manage, integrate material life and spiritual life in the case of Ashoka, to the extent that he now finds it difficult to complete the 16 rounds, maybe a chance of
the devotee is so busy that he doesn't have time to chant the 16 rounds. So what should he do? Prabhupada said he should give up eating. Give up eating.
He's very busy,
So he doesn't have time to eat.
We just have to follow that.
Tolerate.
Rusaha is chat, Arayan. With enthusiasm, patience, determination, follow the rules and regulations and association of devotees, follow the religious texts of great souls, who attend the Pope. May not be in one day, you
take medicine, you take medicine as prescribed by the law, prescribed by the doctor, not by your own imagination. So the Rishi Chan, the prescribed number of rounds, faithfully. And then, yes, once we, okay, we chant that. Now it shouldn't just be fixed on 1660. Okay, 5, 6, 10 to go. 9, 11, what is it, 7 to go. That's not our purpose. We should try to hear the holy name very sincerely. That's really our method of chanting. Prabhupada told one to go to just try to hear yourself chant sincerely.
His Holiness Jai Vetaswami Maharaj Ki
Jai Shivas Prabhu Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande.